Have you all heard the joke about this story? It's an old one, but sometimes I only know religious jokes, so I don't know if it's widely known. And I'm gonna tell it badly, so I'm sorry to all of you who have not heard it, because you're gonna get, like, the worst version of it here. And they're in part because there are a couple different versions, and I will get confused between them if I try to tell it well. But the joke setup is basically there are three religious leaders standing on the shore and this island far off in the middle of the lake. And they sort of turn to, you know, as Jesus is usually the first one, and there's some other fairly established one, and then there's someone who usually the joke wants to portray as a little kooky. Interpret that however you want. That's what the joke is for, I suspect. And there's this bet made between the three of them that they can actually walk across water and get there. And sure enough, Jesus can do it. Nobody's shocked. Second religious leader can do it, and everyone's a little shocked. And then the third one can't. At which point in time, Jesus and the second person turn to each other and say, "I guess nobody told her about the rocks." And it's funny, particularly when you aren't using it to make fun of any particular group of believers. But I think it raises a question when we read it alongside this story. And I love many things about this story. I love Peter and all of his foibles. I love, you know, the willingness to, like, try and walk on water. We did that one summer at camp. This is slightly relevant. We were telling this story, and I was assisting, and the priest who was there, the sort of priest of the week person, got all dressed up in the most ridiculous religious finery that we could find at the very back of the camp closet. It was all that stuff that we kind of wished we had a better reason to throw out, and shortly we would. I think it was actually Moses, but they got out and they tried to make the water do anything and then jumped off the edge of the dock and promptly fell into the lake. Because that's what we do, isn't it? We sink into the water. And the question here is not so much, do we believe Peter's willing to get out and try and walk on the water? I mean, it's a good question, but I don't think that's the real question here. I think the question for people of faith is, are we willing to believe that Jesus was walking on the water to them? I hadn't noticed this until a colleague pointed it out. I think they're telling this story through Peter's eyes at their church. They said they realized there's a time discrepancy we don't notice. They're right, I had never noticed that. Because Jesus sends them away right after the feeding of the 5,000, was our gospel last week. And this starts out with immediately he sent them out. So they're sent out on the lake. And then it's sort of the next evening, so we lose 24 whole hours there with the disciples somewhere out on a boat, presumably, we don't really know, and Jesus somewhere else. And then in the middle of this sort of like stormy, disquieting evening and morning, Jesus comes walking on the water. Unless you think there were rocks there. Maybe there were. There probably weren't. Rocks and boats don't get along terribly well. And I think underlying your answer to that question is the other question, and it's a question for, I suspect, people of all faiths, but definitely Christians. Do you believe in miracles? Not the miracle of an empty parking spot, although that can seem like a miracle, especially in some parking lots. But the kind of miracles that 2,000 years later continue to defy any sort of explanation other than that of some sort of divine intervention in how the world works. Miracles of the Transfiguration on top of the mountaintop. Miracles of walking on water. Miracles of the Resurrection. at some point in time, the challenge we all face as people of faith, especially sort of post-Enlightenment people of faith, when we live in a world where science can do a lot of things science couldn't do in the first century, is to resist the urge to look for the rocks, to look for the magician's string, to look for the logical explanation of how these things came about, and to try to stake our claim, maybe with Peter here, in our willingness to believe that what is, based on everything we know about the universe and how human bodies move through it, impossible. We don't walk on water. We sink into it. And then you get into this whole buoyancy science thing about how far you sink. But Jesus, and this is where I stick, I'm willing to accept this. This is a reasonable, I guess, once you have reasonable for me as a person of faith thing to accept. That Jesus was willing to walk through the storm on top of the lake out to these people he loved. I hope that is something you can believe too. I have no argument I can marshal to tell you it is a reasonable thing to believe, because what I know as the daughter of engineers, as a child who grew up learning science in this not just post-Enlightenment but post-Christendom world, is that science can explain an awful lot. But I don't think it can explain God. I don't think, and not even just think, I don't believe, I am unwilling to stake any credibility of faith in the fact that science can explain God, and even more particularly can explain God's love for us. The camp I worked on for so many years was on a lake, and a huge lake, so you would see these storms pass through. So in my head, it was bigger than, this is probably the Sea of Galilee they were on. It was bigger than that. But I have some image in my head of what a storm on a lake looks like. Lakes are very popular here, so I imagine many of you do too. I would not want to be caught out in them. I was once. I had nightmares for a few years after that. Jesus is willing, though, to walk on water out to these people Jesus loved. That's really the only explanation for why he keeps putting up with Peter. He has to love him, otherwise the whole thing falls apart. Jesus is willing to invite Peter into this same sort of ridiculous thing. And even when Peter does something that is, and as much as I believe in the miracle of walking on water, a part of me also believes that getting out of that boat was one of the most ridiculous things Peter ever did. Peter, after all, is not the Son of God, is not the being who is also there in creation and whom the waves and the wind will answer to. Peter just has this like ridiculous belief and faith that he will be safe in doing this. And even as he gets out of the water, even as he needs this proof that this figure is Jesus, is God, even as he begins to sink and fails at yet another thing, Jesus keeps moving and comes close enough to pull him out of the water and bring him back to the boat where they will be safe. It's not unlike, I would argue, the movement of God through scripture to the point of becoming Jesus, of coming so close to us that we can see and touch. And the hopes that would help us believe enough that even those of us who don't see or touch Jesus will continue to believe. So the question I am left with, the question I can only encourage you to step, I don't know, outside of the bounds of science and reason with me in answering, is, are you willing to believe in miracles? Are you willing to believe that the God who set all of the rules of science and the ways we increasingly understand our world to work loves us enough to set them aside and come as close to us as is possible to save us? I do. I believe that for me. I believe that for all of you. I believe that for all of the whole world. That on our good days and on our bad days, on our days when our belief is shaky and our faith wants to quit, on the days when we could move the mountains that sometimes are less metaphorical than other times, that the fundamental truth of our existence is that the God who made all of that, who made all of us, loves us desperately. Amen.